him when I was 8, so I really feel like he's been a close friend and a guide in my life for the longest time. But there was a season in my life that I look back on every single time I look back on this season, and it was truly one of the toughest seasons. So I thought I'd share that as a start this morning. In 2019, Lou and I, we were married for about a year, and then we were living in Randburg. I was working in Randburg, and he got a job opportunity in Waterkloof, Pretoria. So we moved there to Lynnwood, close to Lynnwood. And the whole idea was that I would work from home. My boss had said, I can work from home. It's fine. And then the morning, as we start, things are in the truck, we start moving. I go into my boss's office and she says, you know what? I've changed my mind. I think it's better for you to continue working here in Randburg. You're just going to have to figure it out. And I don't know if you've traveled to Randburg from Lynnwood, that traffic, it took me about an hour to an hour and a half every single morning in the afternoon, sometimes more because I'd leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That travel was truly excruciating, but I did it and I trusted the Lord that he knew what was going on. So I waited on him, right? Keyword waited on him. At the end of 2020, I'm still working there. So it's been about 2 years of me driving back and forth, but I know that God's got something in store. And I look back a little bit fondly to the traffic. I know that sounds insane, but I would listen to podcasts and I would worship and I'd spend so much time with him. Just, that was our time. So 2020, end of 2020, Lou and I find out we are pregnant. Well, I am pregnant. I don't like it when people say we. I know that it was only me, but we find out that we are expecting a baby. And I pleaded with the Lord. I said, Lord, please, I don't want to drive this road every morning and every afternoon when you're tired and you're literally growing eyeballs at the same time that you're doing everything else. So you are so tired. And I just felt the Lord tell me, wait on me. So that entire 8 months journey, because Nathan was a little bit early, I drove to and from Lynnwood to Randburg every day. I stopped a few times. I would take a nap in the middle of the day when I had my lunch break to sleep in the car, knowing that I'd fall asleep in the car if I drive home. And I say this with a little bit of humor, but also it was excruciating. I remember one night I cried in front of Lou and I asked him, does God not love me? Like, why would a father not listen to his daughter and hear her pleads, hear her cry? And I just, it was so hard, but I know that I heard him say, wait on me, wait on me. 2021, Nathan is born and I'm spending so little time with my newborn son because after 4 months, I went back and I would leave in the morning before he's awake, come back in the afternoon. His bedtime as a 4 month old is about 6 o'clock. So I'd spend an hour with my child every day and that's all I had before he falls asleep. And the day, the cycle continues. And I got an opportunity to go for one job interview in Centurion, so a little bit closer. And I went to the interview and it felt so good as I was sitting there and I heard, such good things coming from that person and I felt excited. And they offered me the job on the spot. They offered it to me. And I said to them, okay, I just want to go home, discuss this with my husband and then I will send an email. And as I got in the car, the Lord said no. And I was like, no, wait, let me reaffirm, God, is that a no? Or is that a no, just go home first? What am I doing? And he said, this is not your job. And I remember speaking to Lou on the phone and he says, maybe you're just not hearing the Lord right. Maybe this is. And I say to him, I'm desperate for another job. I'm desperate. But God is telling me no. So continue with the cycle, seeing Nathan 1 hour a day, approximately driving back and forth, tired, exhausted, pleading with the Lord, desperately asking him. I get another job opportunity in Hartfontein. And by that point, we had moved to Hartfontein. So this was just on the outskirts of Hartfontein. And I get this job opportunity. Once again, I'm sitting there. Everything looks amazing. They offer me the job on the spot. As I'm driving home, I see the email coming through. And I'm like, surely, Lord, this is for me. This is the job. It's so close to home. But the hours were similar, but it's closer at least. So it wouldn't be a 2 hour drive. And I kid you not, the Lord says, V, no. And by this point, I'm thinking, I'm hearing wrong. Because how can he say no to this? This is so close to home. It's not Centurion. This feels like it's the job made for me. And he said, no. So I, in the pleading, in the waiting, in the just listening for him to guide me, One morning, I'm sitting in my office. I have a free lesson. And I hear him say, send an email to that place. And this had been a place that I'd sent my CV to earlier on. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, just send an email. So now I'm bargaining and I'm saying, no, I'm going to go for an interview and it's going to be a no again. So I might as well just live my life diving to Randburg all the time. So I'm getting stubborn and rebellious. And God says, send an email. So I send my email and within 20 minutes, I get a phone call from that lady. She says, my English teacher just quit this morning and you have exactly what I need. Please, can you come for an interview? So now I'm starting to feel hyped because yes, this might be it. And I go for the interview, I think the same week. And by the next month, it was early enough in the month for me to give my notice. And then I started the next month. And everything felt so good because I knew that this was from the Lord. It was less than 3 kilometers away from home. It was a half day position. I could see my son anytime when he was sick. I could be the one to pick him up. I could be the one to be the mother that I wanted to be present in my child's life. So far and above, beyond anything I could hope for, the Lord superseded what I needed. Not that, okay, I'll bring you closer, but you're still going to have the same hours. I'll bring you closer, but you're still going to have to get up early in the morning. He says, not only am I bringing you closer, I'm giving you a job closer. It's going to be 3 kilometers away. You can literally leave 7:45 to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. You end at 2. The job load was less stressful. I couldn't believe it. I just felt so thankful that I had waited. And I can tell you that it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty to wait. There were many nights where I cried and I pleaded and I begged the Lord, please, can I just get a breakthrough? And when the opportunities were there, he said no. And I'm so thankful now that I got to hear his voice, especially in that area of my life, so loudly, so clearly, that I know now when it comes to a job, I can hear his voice. I think we all have areas in our life where we hear the Lord so clearly and we understand this is him speaking, and others, he's still walking that journey with us to rely on him more. So that's my little introduction before we get to waiting. Please will you go to Psalm 13, 6 verses. So as Lou gave me the Psalm 13 this morning to share with you, as I read through it, I'm like, man, how much can you say in 6 verses? And that's what David does. In 6 verses, he has a life change, a thought change, an alignment change. And I want to share that with you this morning with the purpose of waiting. I'm going to read the whole psalm with you. It's just 6 verses, and then we'll break it down 2 verses at a time. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy says, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So as I prepared for this morning, I saw 3 almost stages in what David's wait looked like. We have the private wait, verse 1 and 2, where he pleads with the Lord. He says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? What a crazy thing we say to the maker of the universe. Will you forget me forever? Even though I woke up this morning with breath in my lungs, I have feet that can walk, I have a voice to speak, but we ask him, just because I'm in this difficult season of my life, will you forget me forever? Sometimes I think the Lord looks at us and think, you are so melodramatic, but I love you. As a mother, I look to my son sometimes when he makes the biggest fuss about things, and I think how small your world is that this is important to you, but I know it's important to you, and therefore it's important to me too. And that's the God we serve, the one when we stop and everything feels like it's so crazy around us, and we say, Lord, how long will you forget me? Why am I still waiting on this? Why are you not answering me? And he, the one who sees the bigger picture, the one who knows every corner of the earth, the one who knows the amount of hair or the lack of on your head, He's the one who hears us, who hears our cry. And he says, I know everything. I know how this is going to end, but this is important to you. So I'll meet you. I'll meet you in the mess. I'll meet you in the waiting. I am not offended if you say, Lord, have you forgotten about me? I'm not like your mom when you forget to phone her for the week and she says, oh, do I even still have children? Just me if I forget to phone my mom. The Lord's not like that. He meets us where we're at. He's not offended by our questioning. He's not offended by our pleading. He's not offended that we ask him, Lord, please be with me. This is a vulnerable place, and David shares a really vulnerable place with us here. This is the private seeking of the Lord's face, the private struggle that he has. But he doesn't forget who God is, and we shouldn't forget in the questioning and the pleading and the asking God to meet us where we're at. We shouldn't forget. I want to share another testimony, especially about waiting. It feels like that's the season or that's the thing in my life, the theme that Lord's like, I'm going to test you. Teachers have patience, right? We're going to test that. We're going to test that theory. So another part of the private waiting for me, before Nathan was born, as I was driving back and forth to Randburg every day, he was still, I think I was about 16 or 17 weeks pregnant. And we had gone for a scan to the doctor to make sure that everything's fine. They test all the measurements in their back and in their neck to make sure that they are not Down syndrome babies or high-risk babies, whatever the case may be. And as I was laying on that table, the doctor got really quiet and he looked and he said, you know what, before I tell you anything, I'd like to send you for a second opinion. That's not anything any mother wants to hear when you're lying on that table, is you don't even want to tell me what's going on, so you want me to go to someone else. And this is going to sound exceptionally crazy, but from the moment I felt pregnant, or from the moment I knew I was pregnant, it felt like something was wrong with this baby in my womb. And it sounds crazy, but I'll affirm now, I felt that there was something not okay with this baby in my womb. I could feel it. So the doctor sent me and Lou, and I had to go get these blood tests that they sent overseas to test for any diseases that the baby might have or carry and whatever the case is. And he phones me back and he says, listen, I have bad news. It seems like your baby could have something called trisomy 13. And he says, don't Google it because it is frightening. Come and see me first before you Google. So as I put down the phone, I go to the computer and I Google. I shouldn't have done that because this is a crazy disease. These babies are born with holes in their faces. They live, their life expectancy is about 9 hours a day. So you can imagine in my mind, I'm thinking, V, just listen for once. Why did you Google? It was so crazy. And I went into my boss's office and I cried and I said, I think my baby's sick, but we don't know what to do, what the next step is. And we didn't have any assurance that it wasn't like that or that it was confirmed. And in that season, I remember driving to and from work every day, and I would blast that song, The Battle Belongs by Phil Wickham. And I would blast that song just praying and interceding for this baby in my tummy. And I knew that something was wrong, but I knew that God could heal him. And the one evening, Lou and I and a close friend, we were praying for this baby in my tummy. And I just felt it was like this revival had happened in my stomach, or this turn point. And I knew that was the moment Nathan was healed. And we went back to the doctor and he said, you know, chances, everything is starting to look normal, so he doesn't have any concerns. And by the end of the pregnancy, although Nathan was a full month early, you've seen him walk, he's perfectly normal and healthy. And I'm so grateful. And for the longest time, I couldn't share with people because it sounded crazy that I think my baby was sick in my tummy. It sounds crazy, but a mother knows. Though the intuition you have as a mother is on another level. So a few weeks ago, Nathan and I are sitting on his bed and I'm praying for him before he falls asleep, as I do every night. And he says, Mama, obviously in Afrikaans, Mama, do you remember when I was in your tummy? And I say, yes, Nathan, of course I do. And he says, and Mama, do you know that's when Jesus healed me? And in that moment, my heart stopped. because I promise you, I had never had that conversation with my son before. That's not something you speak about with a three-year-old, that you were really sick or that we thought that you were sick. So that was such affirmation that in that waiting, in that pursuing Jesus, even driving back and forth and pleading with him, that private, because that was so private to me. I didn't want to share that with anyone because I thought I would sound crazy if I told him my baby is sick. In that private moment, God met me. He was with me. And later, when I had healed from that struggle, when I had healed because I know that he came and he did what he does, he came and affirmed me. And he said, you are not crazy, my child. I healed him. He is the miracle because I did it. And I wanted to share that with you too this morning, because sometimes our waiting is so intimate. And you feel, I'm going through this struggle and I don't know how to share with someone. I might sound crazy. I might sound like I just whine all the time. Whatever it is that you're feeling, your weight, God knows what you're waiting for. He knows your heart and he knows your struggle. Whether you are praying or waiting on something about your finances or your spouse or your job or your friendships or your parents, he knows and he wants to meet you in that mess. He wants you to remind or be reminded of how good he is. I'd like to move on to verse 3 and 4. He now moves from the more private struggle that he has, and his focus is a bit external. And this to me sounds, it rings so true to who we are. We might go through something, and at first it's so internalized, and we are focusing on Jesus. But then the moment it takes a little bit too long, we start looking at, oh, really, God, that guy? He got the promotion, not me. Really, that person gets the job, not me. The people are going to think, do I even serve a good God if you're not going to help me? My enemies are going to laugh at me because I'm still stuck. We focus externally. That's part of our process. First, we are, you know, so close and so intimate with God, but then as humans, we falter. And then we start looking around us to the people who have the things we want. They have everything that they need. They have that promotion. They have the happy marriage. They have the baby, whatever the case is. And we start, you know, we start praying, keeping in mind the external. And I'm not at all saying that this was David's mindset, but it just rings so true in my life. It says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. So in ancient Hebrew, light was just not just light as we know it. Light was a symbol of, or an embodiment of, wisdom, truth, and goodness. So when we say, Lord, be a light to my feet, to my path, not just so that I can see, but give me the guidance, the wisdom that I need. So he says, light up my eyes. Give me the wisdom. Lord, I'm looking at everyone around me succeed. I'm looking at everyone else who might say, do you even serve a God? Why are you still stuck there? Because that's what people do. That's what the enemy does. He comes in and he knows exactly where to press the buttons. But we ask God, please light up my eyes so I deal with this situation in wisdom, in kindness, in truth. Let me not forget the truth. David is not unaware of his enemies. He knows he's in the need of God's guidance and wisdom. When you're in that internal struggle and then you look externally, just don't stop being aware of God's presence, of his goodness. I don't know what you're waiting for this morning, but I want to go to the next verse. In English, I'm not saying that this is a Shakespearean poem, but I'm referring back to what I know in English poetry. We have a thing called a volta. And that's a word in poetry that changes the whole theme of the poem. The author changes his mind or he changes direction of thought. And we find this here. David says, but. So I've had this internal struggle. I've looked externally. And then he says, but. And I want us to be reminded, nowhere from verse 4 to 5, it says, God answered David. David knew, right? No, David was still in the struggle. And he says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Somehow, some way, God didn't change David's circumstances, but he changed him. His perspective changed. He was now aligned with the fact that I know what you've done for me. And I can say this with confidence that everyone sitting in this room, God has done something in your life, whether once, whether 100 times. And those are the times that you know God has dealt bountifully with me. He has been steadfast. He has touched my life. He has changed my life. And what God does in moments like this is He changes our doubt for peace. He says, don't stress. I give you serenity. Stop with your plan B. If God doesn't do this, I'm going to try to do this. And then I'll just pray. But, you know, God will bless my path as I try. No, He says, I want to give you stillness. Stop with your worrying because I'm going to give you joy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. How do I know this? Because whatever journey David was on, from verse 4 to 5, he has that Volta moment. His thought pattern radically changes. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning or encourage you is it's not always that God will change your circumstances immediately. In my case, it was 3 years driving back and forth. I think it was 4 years. I don't even remember now. Trauma, they say, sometimes you hide it away. But the fact of the matter is somewhere in that journey, God changed me to stop looking at the negative, to stop thinking about everyone else getting what they want. In every season of waiting, there's a part where we have to remember that by the grace of God, He has done something for us before. He has dealt bountifully with us before. We are sitting here this morning because somewhere He touched us and He says, you stop with what you're doing. I love you. You are made for more than this. When we learn to wait on God and His timing, He teaches us to be aligned with what He wants and when He wants to move. So we listen to Him, we plead with Him, but we trust that when He says, no, not yet, we have been journeying with Him so that we are aligned to what He says. Nowhere in this psalm does God suddenly swoop in and quickly answer David. So we're not missing a 4B or C where it says, and He heard my cry and my enemies, I laughed in their face because suddenly I got that job. Suddenly I fell pregnant. Suddenly my spouse did na 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 na. Because that's what we can do. No. Before that happens, before the change happens, before the waiting's over, His heart is changed. My encouragement to you this morning is don't just say, I'm just waiting. This is my waiting season. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I want to encourage you to wait well. Wait with purpose. I'm not where I want to be yet. My marriage is not where it should be yet. My finances are not where they should be yet. My job is not my dream job. Lord, why am I still here? Do it with excellence. Do whatever you can, whatever season you're in. Do that well and with purpose. Don't wander around as if you're at home affairs waiting for your ticket to be called. Wait, look, speak to the people around you, encourage other people. Wait well, listen to God and pursue God. Why? Because each one of us this morning can say, I know that God has dealt bountifully with me before. I trust in His ways. I trust in His time. And I would like to, I'm not as good as at Lou as speaking. So I would like to end off this morning short and sweet and just pray. Do Psalm 13 as a prayer for us, where we can affirm that God has heard us and we are not alone. Please close your eyes. Lord, how long will you forget us? How long will you hide your face from us? How long must we take counsel in our souls and have sorrow in our hearts for all the day? How long shall our enemies be exalted over us? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Let our eyes be filled with your light. Let our enemies not say that they have prevailed over us. But Lord, we will trust in you and your steadfast love. Our hearts will rejoice in your salvation, God. We will sing to you, Lord, because you continuously deal bountifully with us when we don't deserve it. When we are a mess, Father, what's important to us is important to you. Lord, align our thoughts, our hearts, our minds with you, with what you want for us. Help us to be so sensitive to your voice that when you say, no, not yet, we surrender to that and we wait because what you have for us is the right thing, not the easy thing. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.